Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Another beautiful spring day here in Louisiana and New Orleans. Highs of 70, well, 80 today, but first day of French Quarter Festival, perfect. Then a little bit cooler tomorrow, highs of 77, 73 on Saturday, 80 Sunday, nothing but sunshine. French Quarter Fest starts today, so get out and enjoy that. If you can, I would park outside of the quarter and make your way in because it's going to be a nightmare. 56 degrees right now. And we all know what happened. I think we all know what happened yesterday with the president and Trump, President Trump and tariffs and on, off, on, off, on, off. And one of the reasons behind it, he says, is to bring manufacturing back to the United States. Well, what would that look like and what would it take and what time frame are we talking about? Willie Shee joins us, our friend, professor of management practice at Harvard Business School. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Well, I'm suffering a little from whiplash
because
people ask me to talk about supply chain. I have to change my talk every day, depending on what's going on. You know, I tell a lot of people it's like, you know, business is conducted. It's like sports. It's conducted on a playing field and you have these rules, right? So baseball season is coming up. It's like, imagine you're coaching a team and the rules change every 5 minutes. That's kind of what we're seeing right now. Okay. But to your question, you know, your question is like, well, the purpose of these tariffs is to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. It's like, yeah, I get it. Maybe that's, you know, then, you know, when you looked at the initial rollout on Liberation Day, April 2nd, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to put a tariff on a lot of countries who export stuff that we never made. Okay, so that was kind of the crazy thing. You know, now the question is, what kinds of things can come back to the U.S.? Okay, and I would argue it's things where, you know, the amount of labor content in making that product is either relatively low or we're going to do something to juice up the productivity of our workers so that we can compete with a low-cost country. I mean, you know, we're paying, you know, anywhere from $15 to $50 an hour for manufacturing labor now, you know, and you're still competing with countries where they'll pay, you know, $2 to $8 an hour, right? So if there's a lot of labor in that product, then we got to do it differently. We're going to bring it back.
Let's talk about where we were before we talk about where we might go. And for people that don't know, weren't around, when did manufacturing in the U.S. really kind of start to shift offshore? And I'm thinking it was around the 70s that was the end of the heyday of manufacturing in America or in production in America. No, tell me, professor.
No, it was really later than that. Okay, now in the 70s, that's when we actually the first big import wave, you know, was steel. It goes back to 1959 when United Steelworkers shut down American production for, I don't remember how long, it was probably, you know, it was a number of months. It was a pretty long shutdown. And that opened the door to imports from Germany and Japan primarily. Okay, so that was really, in some sense, offshoring some of that production back then.
So let me jump in real quick, Professor, if I can, because I get texts from people constantly that say it's the unions that cause jobs to go offshore. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say, when we first started seeing like electronics manufacturing go offshore, you know, union or not, the cost difference was so high, right, that, like the really big move started in the late 90s and really early 2000s, okay? And I'll tell you then when, you know, the minimum wage in the U.S. was around $7 an hour, but, you know, good manufacturing job might be $20 an hour, you could pay somebody 50 cents an hour in China. And so a lot of people said, I could hire 10 times as many people and I'll still be ahead of the game. And it was when China opened up, that's when we saw the really big waves. That's when we saw things like textile manufacturing really leave the U.S. That's when we saw, the rest of the electronics manufacturing that hadn't already moved. That's when we saw a lot of auto parts going. That's when we saw castings and forgings and stuff like that. So the really big jump was, late 1990s, but really it really got going right around 9/11 in 2001. I remember that time very well because it's like we had a recession right after the attacks of the World Trade Center, and everybody's saying, how am I going to make my numbers next year? And the way they were going to make their numbers is they're going to move production offshore. So we saw big waves of stuff. That's when like a lot of pharmaceutical manufacturing moved offshore, a lot of the stuff. A lot of that was also because we had more efficient container ships. We had more efficient air cargo, right? So while we had a lot of, some of that offshoring, especially like for assembling TV sets and stuff like that and radios and stuff like that in the 60s and 70s, it really got going in the late 90s and early 2000s.
So when you talk about we can get this, we're worried about, I forgot exactly how you said it just now, but after 9/11 with the recession, how can we cut our costs? Yeah. I think sometimes people think of it as the Chinese invading or Vietnam invading and taking jobs, but actually it was American companies that decided to move offshore. So if you're looking for somebody to blame the executives of the companies and the shareholders, activist shareholders, et cetera, they were concerned about profits and the price of the stock. Is that accurate?
Well, that's part of the picture. Okay, I was at one of those companies, and I remember calling on a large retailer headquartered in Bentonville. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they told me at the time, if you don't manufacture in China, you're not going to sell in this store. Mm. Okay, and, by the way, we had a boom of low-cost products, and it kept inflation in check, for better part of a decade and a half.
But wait, right? Let me jump in, Professor. In that case, it was an American retailer that forced the company to go offshore. Accurate or not?
Well, let me go a little farther downstream. Okay, so you're in Home Depot, right? I mean, let's talk about who are the five largest importers in the U.S., right? Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Ashley Furniture, right? So let's say you're in Home
Walmart,
Depot.
Walmart, Target.
Home Depot, Lowe's, and Ashley Furniture. Those are typically the largest importers, And so, like, you're in one of these stores, okay? And you see something made in China, and it costs half as much. What are you going to buy right now? It's like I'm very grateful that I'm in a position that I can buy American, okay? But a lot of people can't, okay? A lot of my neighbors where I live can't, right? And so, I don't want to judge that, right? Because they're living paycheck to paycheck, mm-hmm. right? And I get that, right? And so if I can get something cheaper. So it's a whole system problem, if you will. It's, everybody contributes to it. But it's, we get a lot of stuff that is a lot cheaper that comes from China. When you think about construction, like I was talking to a company that makes the roofing nails, okay? Or, well, they make the gun that shoots the roofing nails, and the roofing nails all come from China, right? And so that means your housing is cheaper because you got cheaper nails, right? So it's a big, complicated problem.
Let me take a break. You have to take to what, Professor? And we got to take a break?
Yeah, I just said I hesitate to blame anyone, any one party, but it's like this is how we got to where we got to.
All right, let me take a break. We come back. You talk about whiplash. How does the uncertainty with the tariffs, the on off, how does that affect companies' decisions about manufacturing? About and what's a time frame? What would it look like for manufacturing to come back to the United States? Because the president says, you got to have some pain if you're going to have some gain. And I just wonder, how long do you have pain before the medicine kicks in and you got the gain? 622 traffic now.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe Cardos. The I-55 is all clear as you head in from Ponchatoula, and 310 is still looking good as you move in from Destrehan as well. The Bonnie Carey Spillway is moving at speed after some initial congestion as you head in from Laplace. I-10 has no major delays between Kenner and Metairie, and the causeway is still flowing freely this morning to and from the North Shore. Smooth sailing across the Twin Spans as you head in from Slidell, and no delays through the Morrison Curve. Slowing a bit as you approach the high rise as you head in from the east, but moving better after that. Headed toward downtown from the east on I-10, you're looking good all the way till the Claiborne flyover, which is seeing a bit of congestion. The Pontchartrain Expressway is all clear as you head to the CBD. Moving in from the West Bank, you are on the brakes across the Crescent City connection right now. No delays across the Huey P in either direction. This morning's traffic is brought to you by the 4Kids Foundation.
All right, 6:27, 3 minutes left with Professor Willie Shih, Professor of Management Practice at Harvard Business School, talking about manufacturing returning to the U.S. Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, Ashley Furniture, five largest importers. So, Professor, my questions to you are, first of all, where does tariff uncertainty play into this when it comes to the uncertainty with tariffs and capital investment? What's a timeline on your manufacturing returning to the U.S.? Where do robotics fit into this? And inevitably, does that mean prices are going to go up if manufacturing returns to the U.S.? The floor is yours, sir.
Well, okay, it's going to depend on the sector, right? Some areas will see a very short-term effect. I tell people, for example, in agricultural products, fresh produce and stuff, you know, what will happen is people will decide, am I going to keep exporting to the U.S. because I can't afford to pay a tariff and so on. Okay, so like right now everything's suspended for 90 days, but, you know, that's a relatively short cycle. If you're talking about moving auto parts manufacturing, right, it depends, do I have factory capacity, do I have to build a factory and so on. So depending on the sector, you know, the president has been targeting semiconductors. He said, you know, to the Taiwanese, it's like, move your factory over here. To get enough capacity to meet American demand for semiconductors, my view, that would probably take 10 years and, you know, $500 billion. Mm. A lot of money, a lot of time, right? So depending on what sector you're in, it's going to take a different amount of time. When we have this level of uncertainty, nobody's going to make any decisions. Okay, everybody's going to wait until the dust settles because, you know, let's say I put a factory down in the U.S. and all of a sudden the tariff goes away, you know, then I have a higher cost operation, right? So until we get the dust settled and people have a view that long term is, you know, outside my investment horizon, this thing is going to stick, then I can justify it. Until then, you know, with high uncertainty, all we're going to do is stifle investment.
So if manufacturing does return, do prices automatically go up? And can people right now, if they want to buy American, choose to stop shopping at Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Ashley Furniture?
Well, you know, and Walmart and all these firms are trying to diversify their sourcing as well. You know, Walmart has a big Buy American program. You know, mostly where that helps them is in things like grocery and stuff like that. But, you know, if it comes back to the U.S., unless we do some nifty things with automation and stuff to get our labor productivity up, it's probably going to cost more. All right. And one of the reasons we've had low inflation over the last, until recently, you know, from 2000 until recently, we've had low inflation is because we had cheap imports. Okay, so we cut off the cheap imports and, you know, have more expensive manufacturing in the U.S., stuff's going to cost more, right? So you can't have it both ways.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. We'll take a break and come back, talk to Louisiana Agricultural Commissioner Mike Strain. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:45, 6:46, call it 14 till 7. Mike Strain joins us now, as he does every Thursday morning, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I'm great. It's strawberry time.
Yeah, you're right.
Get ready for the Strawberry Festival. Starts tomorrow at noon till 10 p.m. Then Saturday, I'll be there Saturday. That's the big day from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. We'll have the parade. It'll roll out around 9:15. We expect over 100,000 people or more on the route. And then Sunday from 10 to 7, it's a whole lot of fun. You know, if you want all things strawberries, you've got to be in Ponchatoula. It's really, you know, it's a local festival. It's a family festival. The strawberry farmers are selling their products. It's just absolutely a delicious, good time. We'll have Jazzy out there, the official strawberry mascot, and just having a whole lot of fun. And, of course, it goes on for 3 days. There's music. There's all sorts of food. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I just can't wait. It is time to have some fun.
We spoke to the Strawberry Queen the other day. She's a very impressive young lady. I don't mind telling you that.
Yes,
Alexis
Lee. Yes, she is. You know, these queens, they are incredible, and they represent their area and their crops very, very well. And the queens, they all go to Washington Mardi Gras. That's a big part of Washington Mardi Gras, where all the festival queens, all the commodity queens are there, and they're presented as a formal court. They're there as ambassadors to the state. And so being a queen is a lot of work. You have to go to a lot of functions, and you got to be up on your toes. They're well-spoken.
Yes, they are. And she knew the strawberry she knew the strawberry business, and they asked her about challenges facing strawberry farmers during the competition. She had a great answer for that, so she knows her stuff, man.
Yes, and I think she's a third or fourth generation strawberry family. I think she's related to the Liuzas. And, of course, yes, it's really good. And I will actually see the Strawberry Royalty later today here in Baton Rouge. So we'll be, again, talking all things strawberries, the finest, the greatest, and the sweetest. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mike, let me ask it this way real quick. For somebody that is contemplating going, either from the south, the north, east, west, whatever, tell them how to get there and where to park and all that stuff. Because sometimes people want to go, but they can be a little bit overwhelmed by it all.
Yes, yes. And so I would get there, if you're going to go for the parade, say, on Saturday, you need to try to arrive about 8 a.m. There's parking all around the main street. It's on Main Street in Ponchatoula. And so you can park all the way around there. And so that's the kind of way it works. So there'll be plenty of parking, and you kind of walk towards the festival. The festival takes over, you know, all of downtown Ponchatoula. So, you know, you just take the interstate and get off at the Ponchatoula exit there from the interstate, and you head directly east, and it'll bring you into the center town. And then, you know, you take one of the side roads and start looking for a place to park.
And I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of signs directing people where to go, what to do, et cetera.
Everything, yes. They're very good about that. You can actually go down to, you know, they have several parks. You know, you can go down to the Kiwanis Park or the Rotary Park. But it's a little ways, but you can park fairly close. Actually, a lot of people park right along the railroad track. You go down the main street, you see the railroad track, generally take a right and go down just a little bit and find a place to park. But get there a little early. If you get there at 8 a.m. on Saturday, you'll be fine. You'll be able to find a place to park. Or if you want to go Friday, I'd get there about 11 a.m. It starts at noon, and Sunday, about 9 a.m., and you'll find a place to park.
So this week, or Passion Sunday, whatever they call it, Palm Sunday. And then we got
Palm Sunday.
And then we got Easter Sunday the following week, Lent's winding down. So let's talk seafood. Let's talk about some stuff for Easter that people can prepare on their table from Louisiana. And don't forget that Easter basket.
So yesterday I was at Jay Bernard Seafood there and his wife Georgia in Cottonport. And they boil about 7,000 pounds of crawfish an hour. You got that?
Wow.
An hour. It's a huge operation. They buy the local crawfish, and you know, and it goes both peeled. It goes so you can make your etouffee. They also sell live crawfish as well, and then they have a flash frozen 3-pound bags of crawfish that you simply put the whole bag in boiling water. And so the seafood.
Wait, already peeled and everything?
No, they're not peeled. They're whole. They're shelled.
But
you put this bag in water for 10 minutes and it's ready to go.
Wow. Yes. How many come in a bag? What kind of pound did you talk
3 pounds. 3 pounds.
That's
used to
cool.
Do 3 pounds of crawfish. You can find it at Rouse's, and most of this actually goes into the Midwest. They go out there, and I guess when they cook those big Midwestern steaks, they have that crawfish as well.
So it's already seasoned and in a bag, and seasoned and in a bag, so you throw the vacuum bag in the boiling water, and it comes out like it's coming out of a boil.
That's right, and it tastes just as good. It's incredible, and you know, and they've got it. They have got this down pat, how to do it.
Let's talk about some chocolate.
Oh, my goodness, Elmer's, right? It's got to be Elmer's. Heavenly Hash, right? You know, and Elmer's is right there in Ponchatoula, you know, and so that's a company that's been around for well over 100 years. And Elmer's, you got to think about Heavenly Hash, you know, their pecan eggs.
Gold Brick.
Oh, Gold Bricks. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Now, you take the Gold Brick egg and you put that on top of some Bluebell ice cream. You kind of chop it up or melt it up and put that on top of Bluebell ice cream. Yes. That is the definition of something that is just absolutely delicious.
And since, we're talking about strawberries, I should also say that there's strawberry
absolutely.
Heavenly Hash egg now that you could try that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, and I take strawberries and I just freeze them just raw, and I pull them out of the freezer and let them thaw maybe a minute and eat them frozen like that.
Yeah,
you know, when you eat that, when you have that strawberry in that ice cream, you know how delicious that strawberry is? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do that by just eating them right out of the freezer.
There's one of my favorite things to get at Middendorf is that strawberry ice cream, Mike.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, at Middendorf's, you know, you cannot go wrong, right, with that thin fried catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Last time I was at Middendorf's, I was there with Steve Scalise, And I think we tried to see if we could eat all the catfish they had. We didn't, but it was a really good time. And you've got a seafood festival coming up there in Belchase, and that is going to be on April 25th, 27th. And that is there at Belchase at right off of F. Edward Hebert Road. And so a lot of festivals going on.
Mike, real quick, let's talk about I want to get into tariffs and timber and all of that stuff. What will help, what will hurt?
So if you look at the tariffs, one of the things is that we've been getting dumping of timber in the United States from Canada and from China. And the tariffs will definitely help that. You know, as we've been fighting with Canada for dumping their softwoods into our markets, because in Canada, they cut the timber and they pay little to no stumpage fee. Here, you know, when we cut timber, you got to pay the owner of the timber, you know, for the timber. And so they would bring it here cheaper than we could cut it right here. And so that is going to help that. And then with China dumping plywood on our markets, we've lost a lot of our manufacturing, our plywood mills. This will help level that playing field. For seafood, also, there's going to be tariffs on imported seafood, and that will help our local seafood producers, especially when you start looking at shrimp. Shrimp and crawfish are really in that order. And we're talking about all this crawfish, we need to talk about shrimp too. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to rebuild our local shrimp economy. You know, people, you know, you're not going to go and buy imported crawfish to boil. You're just simply not going to do it. But people will buy imported shrimp. And so we've got to really start, you know, the ask before you eat, where does the seafood come from? And really try to rebuild and reestablish our shrimp market. And these festivals are a big part, but also that where we start eating more shrimp and more crawfish. And when's the last time you had a hamper of crabs? Mm-hmm. And they are really good, you know. So, and you can get those crabs. So we need to really work on our seafood industry and consume all of our products locally.
Mike, a pleasure as always. Have a great time at the Strawberry Fest.
Yes, and hopefully Teddy's doing well, right?
I don't know. He was out there in the poor thunderstorm digging a hole on Sunday. I don't know what's going through his head. Thank you, Mike.
Well, you know. Yep, take care. Bye.
You too. Bye. All right, Mike Strain, 655, 5 till 7. Traffic now, WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.